Hey guys, my guest tonight, John Mellor, is going to be talking about religion and UFOs. We'll be right back. Grab your popcorn and snacks. Find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Hey everybody, happy Wednesday. How are you all doing? We're almost there to Friday. Man, I can't wait for the weekend. I have a lot planned. Especially a lot planned for you guys. My name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm also the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team, based out of Sacramento, California. We are 45 up and down the state, which means if you have a paranormal need, we can get to you. It may take us a while. California is really huge. But we will get to you. And in the case that we can't get to you, we do have mediums on staff who can help you, who can call you and talk about what may or may not be going on. And in most cases, they can settle the energy down before we get out there. But it only takes us a couple days. You want to find us? Check social media. That being said, if you're watching from Facebook tonight, and a lot of you are, please feel free to hit that follow button if you like what you're seeing here tonight. We're always looking for followers, and show us a thumbs up, things like that, because that puts us up in the FYP. Chat amongst yourselves in the chat room. Same thing with YouTube. We've got more than 1,000 videos over there. 1,000. And they're all different shows of this show. Okay, they're all different versions of this show. Tons to choose from. Tons of guests to look at. So if you haven't done so already, subscribe so you can start following us, because we're just going to keep on rolling here with guests. Okay, we're going to keep rolling here with events and with guests. And it's really fun. Same thing with there. Subscribe, like, share. Okay, if we want to share the show out, that's the key, is to get the word out to more people. We're also broadcasting on Twitch tonight. So hello, Twitchers. Twitchies or Twitchers. So hello, everybody. Okay, swinging on in. I will be posting my first October event for you guys. Should be interesting. It's a premiere for the new show, and that's the first event for us in October. We'll be having a ghost hunt to take you guys on at some point too in October. So all the Halloween stuff's coming in. If you haven't done so already, check out the Boo Crew store. I've got some great T-shirts and other items over there, and include Halloween themed and California Haunt stuff over there. California Haunts Radio, California Haunts. So there's all kinds of stuff over there for you to choose from. Really, some really cute stuff. All right, that being said, my guest tonight, and I probably said his name wrong in the intro, is very interesting. You know, there have been a long time where Christians and other religions have looked upon UFOs and the beings that are within them as maybe archangels and things like that. My guest tonight kind of has shifted his views a little bit on that. But you know what? Before I say any more, I'm going to let him talk about it, because I don't want to put my foot in my mouth and all that good stuff. Let me bring him in. He can introduce himself and tell us how he started thinking this, thinking the way he does, and we'll get the show going. Here we go. And my squeaky chair. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Thank you for letting me on your show. This is cool.
Absolutely. I like having people on my show. It's fun. I learn all kinds of things.
Yeah, I used to do some ghost hunting back in the day when I was in my experimental phase before God really got a hold of me. And of course, my house got completely infested with poltergeists. And it was an ordeal. Of course, they were kind of hiding. But then when Jesus came to me, at 21, he came to me in a dream. Mm-hmm. And then when I woke up, I asked who that invisible person was in the dream. I wasn't expecting an answer. I heard him audibly speak his name in my ear. That's my conversion story. So I'd been to church as a kid and everything. And
yeah,
I would have said I was a Christian and everything, but I didn't have the degree of faith that I had at that day that It's like just by saying his name, he imparted something a lot.
Right.
And then it was like all of the stuff that was there in my house already was like, mm-hmm. you know, the devil likes to hide. His mm-hmm. minions like to hide, you know, mm-hmm. and they're just there. They're manipulating you. They're getting people to argue or do whatever they want. Right. You're their play toy. But then when they know that, you know, that they're there, mm-hmm. you're like, no kidding. You're on to them. You get an extra sense that I was already sensitive before this happened. But then I was became even more sensitive afterward. And then all this poltergeist stuff started happening in my house, and I was like, oh my goodness. And it was calling me out, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. it was doing ridiculous stuff right in front of me. At one point, it was attacking my girlfriend, this thing. I couldn't see it. It was chasing her around the house. I'm like, what the heck? I had a Bible in my hand. I'm yelling, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my house. And it was like in my face, flipping me off. And I knew I had a serious problem at that point. I couldn't even be with my girlfriend in my house at that time. Yeah. It owned my house. So I'm like, okay, I got to get serious about God. That's when I went to church. And I started immediately talking about some of my background there, but I guess that's where this one sort of started out. Everything changed at that point. And then I started getting serious about God and all that other stuff.
Keep stuff out. I got stuff all over the house to keep everything, you know, at a nice level. Because I
was going to ask you, what do you, if you're actually doing these paranormal investigations, you'd have to, I mean, you have to do a lot. I don't even go looking for that stuff anymore, and it follows me home sometimes.
One of the last cases I did before COVID was for a friend, and we were at her house. Thought we got rid of this thing, and I came home, started to go over the evidence review, the EVP, looked down, and there's scratches going down my arm.
It came
home with me. Not very nice, you know?
Yeah.
So I had to deal with that, and, you know, but the ones that are in my house, I would like to think they're not demonic, but you never know, you know? But I told them flat out, I said, look, I know you're here. You know I know you're here. Don't scare me. Don't try to scare me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just kind of keep that balance together.
Yeah.
And then so far it's been okay. But I mean, I can tell when something comes home with me that wasn't here, because the mm-hmm. ones here act a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, and then I can always.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm visited by family.
I do too.
But they actually come from heaven. I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they come down and they pop in from time to time.
Yeah.
My mom and I can kind of get it. I get a sense of that when they visit. Mm-hmm. They're allowed. They're okay. Mm-hmm. I consider that an angelic visitation. But when they're not invited, or when they are making themselves look like something that is just like, nope, that's not above board. And then of course I have bad dreams, nightmares, mm-hmm. and then I'll see like out of the corner of my eye and stuff like that. And of course my wife, she straight up sees stuff that they mm-hmm. look like physical people to mm-hmm. her. But you know, I know when they're there, and when they know that they're not supposed to be there, cause there's something dark or deceptive, misleading. They have an agenda. It's always something that isn't good for us.
Right.
I kick them out, mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. Cause God gave me that ability since then. After I got my baptism, so here's a word, if anybody's wondering, baptism does something to you. It empowers you. First of all, baptism is directly linked to exorcism. Mm-hmm. If you have anything stuck to you or in you, getting baptized pushes it out and away and off. And it will not come back unless you like actively invite it back. You have to like really go nuts in rebellion to get it back again. No reason why anyone should do that, but that when I got baptized, I came back to my house, and then I did an exorcism on my house, and boom. And then now half the time I think things follow me home because they see something on me and they're like, I think he has the door that I need.
Right.
And I'll say prayers all the time when I feel something following me. Like I used to go on jogs and there would be places where I, you know, I feel something from a mm-hmm. house or a piece of property. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Friend of mine died, I remember, and I went for a jog. And this little goat that would always run up and jog with me next to the road. And this goat came up, looked at me, and took off running. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. You know, he never did that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt something tagging along, and I thought it was my buddy. And I'm like, hey, Ken, if that's you, I just pray in the name of Jesus. There's a light right here, right now. Bless you. And thank you for being with me. And I say hi to everybody back home in my home to be. And I blessed him and sent him on his way. Mm-hmm. So I've had things like that happen, and I just pray for a portal of light to open from the kingdom, and I believe they open. And
I do too.
Some of the spirits that are there, that are around you, they're waiting for somebody to do that. Now I don't know why they can't do it themselves, or you know, right. but maybe they need to find somebody alive that can do it for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what the rule book is on that, but I do sort of think that that's one of the mechanisms there, because I tend to pick things up a lot,
right?
And I send them on their way when they come.
Well, what I was figuring out here is that, you know, the good ones like your family can come back and forth, and it's nice because for the most part, because that portal's open, because obviously it's open or they wouldn't be coming back and forth. Not everything nice is going to come through there. You know, that's just the rule of thumb.
Yeah.
But they keep it, you know, they keep them at bay pretty much, my family mm-hmm. will. And, you know, every once in a while one comes through that just gets around them. I mean, there's things that have, you know, you know this from Bible study. There's demons that have a small amount of power, and there's demons that have a lot of power. You know, there's different levels yeah. of demons. So you might get the small power ones that they can chase out, but then sometimes you're going to get something else coming in.
And or among the most powerful are the religious spirits. I mean,
yes.
A friend of mine who was in deliverance ministry had some people over there, and they were surrounding a person and praying for them. And the person was like getting angry and manifesting and saying, pray for me, you know, and so they prayed for him. And then my friend said the Holy Spirit told him, this is going nowhere. He's actually thriving off of this. He's getting wow. off on the attention. And he's like, wow, they can do that? And he said, here's what you do. Surround him and face away and sing a worship song.
Sure.
And so they did. They got in a circle around the guy, and then they started singing a worship song, like the Revelation song or something like that. Mm-hmm. And boy, that pissed him off. He started, you know, yelling, and then before they knew it, he was on the ground and convulsing and foaming at the mouth, and mm-hmm. the thing came out. It couldn't handle it. They weren't even addressing mm-hmm. it directly. They were just singing praise to God. Mm-hmm. And boom, it came out of him. He had all kind of stories. He was in deliverance ministry for 17 years, did exorcisms and
stories.
Stuff. And yeah.
Well, my neighbor kid.
A resurrection, too.
Give me that. This house is my neighbor kid. I'm unloading groceries one night. Kid comes by on a bicycle. He couldn't have been more than 10 or 11. And everybody in the neighborhood knows what I do, right? So it's a thing, because they're used to me opening my doors and windows and yelling, you know, to get something out of here, right? You know, get the shit out.
Oh, yeah, you do the thing where you open the door and get out and don't come back. And then you shut the door, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And my neighbors are used to me, so they'll roll their eyes and walk by. But this kid comes up to me. I'm unloading.
If they could only see.
If they could only see, yeah. And he stops in and he goes, not even hello. He goes, you have ghosts. Not, you hunt for ghosts. You have ghosts. So it makes me wonder when I leave the house, like in the evening, what's going on with the lights and stuff? Because obviously they're seeing something through the, you know, through the windows. Maybe the lights are turning on and off or whatever. But it's just funny to have a kid walk up and go, you have ghosts.
Yeah. You know? In my case, the thing that was in my house, me and my girlfriend went outside, and it came out through the window. And another oddity, my friend in deliverance ministry said, ghosts go through windows and they go through doors. They generally don't go through walls. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that that's the wiring in the house, that it probably jacks them up. Electricity may affect them. But anyway, it came through the window and it was out in the yard. And my friend could see it like this dark, shadowy, very solid humanoid shadow. And so I was like, where's it at? She's like, it's right over there. And I went over and I swiped at it. And she said, oh, it just dodged you. And I'm like, this sounds weird. And I said, let's go for a walk. It was given a perimeter of my house. It couldn't come onto the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So we walked down the street and it was like bound. So like, I'm like, what the heck is that? How is it able to be at my house, and what's up with my house?
Yeah.
I mean, what's allowing it there? You know, I was really upset about it. I think later on we found out that might have been a curse put on me.
Right.
Me and my girlfriend. But yeah, those are the days.
Also, when you do that kind of work and you have obviously opened up, you know, if you have abilities. Yeah. I've been told that I am like a beacon, a real bright light. So they will line up down the street when I'm on.
That's kind of what I mean. Like, stuff follows me home even now, yeah. And I'm not looking for it. And I usually pray them to the light before I even get back to the house. But sometimes they'll come in the house in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I'll wake up at 3 a.m. and I'll have a dream about somebody that I hadn't seen in years, mm-hmm. or somebody that's like a person that I knew in the dream, but when I wake up, they're not there, but they're like, we're in the middle of something. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what happened there, but I got to pray for this person. I think that, you know, they need to go. Uh-huh. Or I'll wake up and there'll be something there. And I'm like, okay, I shouldn't be feeling Creepville in my own house. You know, something here.
Absolutely.
And sometimes when they're bad, I'll deliberately not turn on the light, and I'll go right to the area where I feel them, like, you know, get up in their face, you know.
Yeah.
It makes me angry, and, you know, I'll cast them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, the ghosts are kind of a thing that in my earlier days, I wrote more about them.
Right.
And then in the Bible, as I was studying the Bible, I wrote my first book about... This is Aliens in the Bible, but the subtitle is A Biblical Perspective of Supernatural Entities, Realms of Existence, and Phenomena. Mm-hmm. So that covers the whole gambit, you know.
Yeah, it does.
And so I talk a lot about ghosts in that book, but the more I studied scripture after writing that for the next decade or so, then I wrote this one, Aliens and the Antichrist. I see ghosts in the Bible, you know. But I see aliens all over the Bible. For starters, I think aliens and angels are the same thing, good guys and bad guys. But there's other terms, like the stars. Stars is used synonymous with heavenly beings. And then there's the term heavenly host, the host of heaven, which is a more generic term. And I think host of heaven encompasses life forms that don't necessarily comply with the rigid definition of angel.
Right.
So Jesus defined angels in Luke 20:36. He said that they're immortal and they no longer reproduce. They're not supposed to reproduce. It doesn't mean they can't. He just said, when we die, we will be like the angels, which are in heaven, referring to the believers, which do not marry, nor are they given in marriage. And then Christians take that phrase and they do all kind of weird things with it. First of all, they think, okay, angels don't get married, therefore they don't reproduce, because that would be sin. And if they don't reproduce, then that means God had to make each one individually. And that's not true, I don't think. I think that God created life throughout the cosmos, just like Adam and Eve.
Right.
Adam and Eve were not angels, but they reproduced. Right? They reproduced after their own kind. They were pseudo-immortal. They had to eat from this tree to stay alive, they wouldn't have died if they'd have kept eating from the tree. Jesus said, we're going to be like the angels. He's going to kind of like reactivate this plan that got derailed in the garden when we sinned. Because we became mortal, but that's a temporary state of being. And we are destined to go through a metamorphosis called translation. And when we go through this metamorphosis, we'll be like butterflies. We'll, you know, poof, now you have this angelic body. You'll have powers, probably be able to fly. You're not going to have wings on your back like a silly bird. You're going to look like a human, right? But you'll probably be able to fly, walk through walls, change your atomic variation, and pop in and out of this dimension. You'll be incredibly powerful, and your abilities will be well beyond what you can possibly imagine now. You'll be an angel. He said, you'll be like the angels. A lot of people make a big distinction about the word like, and I'm like, what's the difference? Honestly, if you're immortal and you're no longer reproducing because you're not supposed to anymore when you've been through that translation, then who's to say that angels didn't used to be like us? If angels were created like Adam and Eve, they could have populated their planets. Imagine there's some planets out there. C.S. Lewis wrote about this too. There's some planets out there where they, Satan showed up and they're like, get lost, loser. We don't want any part of you. What's going to happen? They're going to populate their planet. They're going to become highly advanced. They're just as intelligent as us. They're going to use technology. Just what's technology? It's an expression of intelligence in the physical universe. It's a natural expression of intelligence. They would have become so incredibly advanced and a lot quicker than us because they're not blowing themselves to smithereens. Everybody's on the same sheet of music. They're all agreeing. They're all working together. Nobody's greedy or selfish. And they're going to end up spreading off of their planet, populating their entire solar system. And spreading out to the stars, right?
Right.
And they're going to be incredibly advanced, and they will be immortal when they translate. And once they become immortal, that God creates that immortality, that metamorphosis where you're connecting with Him on such an intimate level that our reproductive phase is going to, like, fade away, you know? It's like we won't even be interested anymore, you know? Our level of intimacy and love that we're going to be feeling with God and everybody else is going to be so high up there, and we're going to be feeling so much joy and fullness and completeness and pleasure, it dwarfs anything else, right? These other angels that sinned in Genesis chapter 6, the Watchers, the B'nai Elohim, they turned against God. They were in rebellion, and they decided, let's go have sex with some human women because they're really good looking. They would not be thinking like that if they did not have a past history with sexual reproduction. It wouldn't be there. It's like, do you look at a tree and you're attracted to a tree and you want to mate with a tree? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, right? They had a gender. They were created as a reproductive species. Then they went through a metamorphosis. They were connected with God. Then they started turning against God and rebelling. And anything that God told them to do or that was expected of them, they're like, let's just make a list out of that and start breaking those laws one after another. And, you know, Satan himself, I think he's an instigator. I think he convinced them to do it, but he held off on some of those things himself. And that's why Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's still in power here on this planet. He led a rebellion. He was defeated in a rebellion. He was thrown back to this earth because Satan used to be king of an angelic kingdom on this planet before Adam and Eve were created. The Bible actually talks about this angelic kingdom that predates humanity. It mentions it in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And he led his rebellion. He started it on earth from the Garden of Eden. That's what it says. And then he ascended to the clouds and he went into the sides of the north. And it talks about heaven, where God's capital is, as a glorified place that's in the north. There's three scriptures that point to that. Isaiah 14, Psalm 75, Psalm 45. I think the two Psalms are right on that. But they actually talk about this angelic armada of angelic chariots like Star Wars. Seriously. I mean, these angelic chariots all going to this planet, this glorified planet, in the northern hemisphere of the universe, and there was an angelic war. And even though all of that insanity was happening, God didn't lift a finger. The Archangel Michael stepped in, and he defeated him and cast Satan back down to Earth. And Earth was wiped out. And all of that happened between Genesis 1:1 and the very next verse, Genesis 1:2. And the earth became void and without form, and water covered the face of the deep. That word became void is tohu. It's an active destruction. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's done. The heavens are created. Then they're populated with angelic beings. And earth was created. And Satan was the king on this planet. Mm-hmm. And he had his angelic civilization, part of which were, a lot of them were immortal. But some of them were mortal, right? So mm-hmm. now we look, you look at the Bible and you're like, where are these Neanderthal and these Cro-Magnon? How do you explain those in the Bible? That's who they are. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that did not get translated yet. So they were still mortal. They mm-hmm. were eating from the tree, or they sinned. The Neanderthal were the ones that sinned, and they were really old. A human being literally starts looking like a Neanderthal if he lives to be 1,000 years old. Your brow gets thicker. Your jaw grows out throughout your entire life. You age progress a human body 500 to 1,000 years, you look like a Neanderthal. Huh. That's where these Neanderthal are. They're us, or they're part of this angelic kingdom, a humanoid species that preceded us. And the angels that were glorified, they weren't killed, right? Because you can't even kill them. It's impossible. Like maybe if you killed their body, if you burned it, then the atoms would probably reassemble, and it would rebuild itself. It's indestructible. It would take the lake of fire to destroy it. That's how amazing God created that power. But all the mortals, there's your father. Uh-huh. And that rebellion was done, but Satan was here, and then God recreated the earth to a habitable state between Genesis mm-hmm. 1:2 and 2:25. Mm-hmm. That's a literal 7 days because solar regulation was going on. The mm-hmm. universe existed. The planet existed. It explains the 7 days of creation. He removed the darkness because it was chaos, and it was actually a global flood that covered the entire earth and destroyed everything. Mm-hmm. That's why when Noah and his family came out of the ark, he said, replenish the earth. Replenish the earth, not plenish the earth. Uh-huh. Meaning it was already plenished before, right? And he told that to Adam and Eve too, replenish the earth. Well, why is he telling them to replenish? There was nothing there, unless uh-huh. there was something there. So there was something there before. And it actually says in Isaiah 14, Lucifer was in the garden of God. Well, that's the Garden of Eden. Uh-huh. It was in Eden, the garden of God, it says. So he was the king on this earth before Adam and Eve were ever created. So all of this relates to aliens and ETs and stuff, because if Satan with his angelic kingdom were here on this planet uh-huh. with all of this advanced technology, Ezekiel 28 said he walked amidst the stones of fire. I think that's talking about solar systems, because awesome. When he sinned and he fell from glory and he was cast from heaven, it said he was no longer allowed to walk amidst the stones of fire. That's a significant thing. It's totally linked with his rebellion. Something he was allowed to do before. Oh, you're restricted to earth now. You're no longer allowed to walk amidst the stones of fire. Boom. You're locked down to this planet. So he's been locked. He's been on lockdown on this planet, but he's in the upper. He's in first heaven, which is in first heaven. It's a higher dimension. Earth is a larger planet, a much larger planet. But if you were to travel up maybe 5 to 7 miles and then change your atomic variation, your frequency, to a higher level of glory, you would suddenly find yourself standing on the flat lithosphere of a much larger planet that's a glorified world, a beautiful place, part angelic, mostly angelic beings live up there now. Maybe not all. There might be some they're probably all angels up there. That's what I think. And maybe some people that died that are believers, they can go to that first heaven maybe. And they might go to be with Jesus as well in the third heaven at where he lives. And then the second heaven is the most used word in the Bible, shamim in Hebrew, uranios in Greek. And second heaven is a plural word, heavens. And it's first defined in Genesis 1:14. In the beginning, God, you know, he created the heavens and the earth, and he set the abode of the sun and the moon and the stars. That's the first use of it right there, where it's defined. Well, the first use of it is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's we read in King James heaven and earth, but it's heavens and the earth is what it actually says. The sun, the moon, the stars, the cosmos, right?
Right.
And it's not referring to just the planets as they are. Every planet, every solar system, they're multidimensional constructs. And I call that the onion theory, right? Earth in the Bible is described as a multidimensional sphere with layers. Hell is in the heart of the earth, literally. Like geographically, it's down. But we know if we go down, you're going to find a bunch of lava, right? Well, you go down and you change your level of glory to a lower variation, a lower frequency. You're going to find yourself in the upper atmosphere of a smaller planet that's a very unpleasant place. And it's more than one. It's like layers that you go farther and farther down. And the heart of the earth, the depths of the lowest place would be the smallest, very smallest place there. And that's the worst of the worst. And probably a lot of fire there, a lot of burning, a lot of torment, some really bad creatures stuck down there. And then periodically people can create portals and allow these things up, doing various things. Murder, for example, will curse the ground and it opens up portals and things can come through. People who live horrible lifestyles can be portals themselves and allow themselves to be opened up for things to come from below. So there's ways that they can kind of escape that to some extent. And then the fact that Satan is in the first heaven, on the outer atmosphere, he probably from time to time is able to like go down in there because he can go through these different realms and like maybe bring some of them up or whatever. So there's a lot of these different oddities about it, and that's the realms of existence part of that book that I discussed earlier on, and I got a little bit more into that as I researched later, especially talking about portals, blessed earth and blessed ground and holy ground and things like that. And and a lot of that, you know, you could talk about ghosts in all of that, you know. Cryptids, for example, Genesis 6, that's your origin story for pretty much all of your cryptids. So cryptids can be just creatures that God created that maybe have abilities, but it's more likely that that they're Nephilim, because Genesis 6 says all flesh corrupted its way on the earth. The book of Jasher and the book of Enoch go into more detail, saying when the watchers came here, they mated with humans, but they also mated with animals. And they created all these hybrids, and then they were doing these chimeras, just like we're doing now with genetics. I honestly think it could go either way. They could have shape-shifted and then actually mated with these creatures, and because of their glory, their DNA could do things that ours can't. And it could actually create these weird monstrosities. But some of these chimeras that they had that are legendary, like the griffin, for example, part eagle, part lion, part, you know, who knows what, that's a mixture of animals. There's no human component. So they were probably monkeying around with genetics in labs too, not necessarily just mating. However, you know, the Greek legends and stuff, I borrow from a lot of these other legends and stuff, and I read, and I think the Bible says these things are happening, and this is the overall perspective. The Nephilim are bad guys, right? So I'll read the Epic of Gilgamesh, right? That's Sumerian text. That's Zechariah Sitchin and all of his stuff, right? I'll take all these different things out of there, and I'll say, yeah, they're probably right about this and this and this and this. Gilgamesh probably was a Nephilim. The actual epic says that his mother was like two-thirds Nephilim, two-thirds God. And so he had some Nephilim genetics, part angelic genetics. That's why he was so powerful and a man of legend. Genesis chapter 11, Nimrod is Gilgamesh. And most theologians think that, right? Because they were written about the same time, same legend. It's about the flood. Gilgamesh was building a tower to defy the god Enlil, who brought the flood. But according to his version, Gilgamesh is the good guy, right? And Enlil is the bad guy. He's the one that brought the flood because he couldn't get enough sleep at night. So let's wipe out the planet. Like, really? God is that heartless that he would just wipe out an entire civilization, an entire planet, because he can't get enough sleep? I mean, A, God doesn't sleep. Mm-hmm. B, God is in heaven. It is, you know, and God can even exist outside of time space altogether, unlike any other created being. He created time space. So some little thing about some noise on a puny little planet, is it going to bug him? Is it going to have any effect on him whatsoever? But according to this widely accepted Anunnaki and all of this stuff about them and Planet X and Nibiru and all of this stuff, I think, well, okay, there might be another planet out there, sure. Maybe they needed gold. That's kind of hard to believe. Why would they come here if they're that advanced and then enslave the human race? Why not create some robots? So there's holes in the story already, right? But big beings on another planet, possibly in this solar system, maybe. Sure, why not? You know, I do believe that there were the Anunnaki here because the Watchers were here, and that's who they are. The Bible talks about them. But they were bad guys. The word Nimrod isn't a proper name. It is a title, and it in Hebrew it translates as rebel. He was in rebellion. And that's where the story of the Anunnaki come in. He was building this tower to defy God in his pride, saying, you go ahead and bring another flood. I'll have a tower and I'll escape that too. So that's the real story. And these Watchers, they were not good guys. Enki and Enlil, these two brother gods battling it out. One's sort of a good guy and one's a bad guy. And they kind of go back and forth, but they're like joint rulers. You might have had two angels that could have had that name, two fallen angels with that name. But just the story is all those angels that were mating with humans were bad. And all of their offspring were really bad. And it got so bad on this planet, God had to bring the flood to wipe everything out. Quarantine just the little bit that was left on this boat. And then boom. Start over. So that's the real story, and that's part of what my mission is. You know, I call it the mission of the second or the mission of the first angel, because in Revelation 14:6, there's this cool part where it says there's an angel. So right after you're reading in Revelation 13, you're talking about the beast, the mark of the beast, the false prophet, 666, and you can't buy or sell, and people are getting beheaded, and all this terrible stuff, right? All these things coming in our future. And in the middle of all of that, you have an angel flying in the heaven, preaching to people on earth, telling them who God is. He's reminding them, worship the Creator, the one who created the heavens and the earth, and the seas and all the life therein. Simple message. Remember who God is, right? And I'm going to go to this MUFON symposium coming up here in like 3 weeks. It's October 12th and 13th. And I'm going to be speaking there. And I know that probably most of those people are all into this Anunnaki stuff and stuff. So I'm going to be sort of the oddball Christian that's going to be like, all y'all's wrong, you know? Not wrong. I would say that, you know, like I said, there might be a Planet X, and there probably are these fairly tall humanoid entities that live there that are very powerful. Whether or not they needed gold and all of that, and as far as their legend and flip-flopping the protagonist and the antagonist, they're not good guys, you know. Right. And they're not done. Their deception is coming back. Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. Out of all history, he singles out Noah's day when beings come down from the heavens, interface with humanity directly, face to face, and actually mate with them and have kids together. Jesus said we're going to see that again. So that's why I make the straight up prediction. We're not only going to see disclosure, that's just the beginning. We're going to see like the TV shows and the movies, you know, with the, you know, Independence Day and whatnot, except there's going to be, I believe there's going to be a version of Independence Day, but it's going to be flipped on its head, okay. Right? The Bible talks about the rapture, right? Well,
right.
So a lot of people are, oh, the rapture, the word rapture is not even there. Oh, okay. Let's nitpick it. The word caught up is, okay. You know, same word. Just translated with two other words, it means identical meaning. You read mm-hmm. the same passage, and it's talking about being caught up to Jesus in the air, right? And people argue, well, you know, is that mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, pre-tribute? I'm like, I don't care. You know, honestly, I think there's a pre-trib because there's a lot of weight to it. Mm-hmm. That there will be a rapture. The biggest element to that, I believe, is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it tells you that there's a restrainer on this mm-hmm. planet. But this restrainer will be taken out of the way, and the Antichrist cannot be revealed until this restrainer is extracted. Mm-hmm. This restrainer can't be the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's always here. You can't remove him from anything. He's mm-hmm. God, right? However, Holy Spirit indwelling his believers is his protection through believers on the planet. And God gave the earth dominion, gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. We humans are God's representatives on this planet. Mm-hmm. Right? So if those of us who are aligned with God are all taken off in one shot, it's going to create a huge vacuum.
Right.
And this is God saying, all right, everybody who wants to accept me the easy way, I'm going to take you now. Boom, you're gone. And then everybody else that's left, there's more than one rapture too, by the way. The Bible talks about a rapture that's going to happen after the Great Tribulation. When Jesus comes back, believers will be reunited with him too. Mm-hmm. There will be believers that will be killed all through the Great Tribulation. Because mm-hmm. they refuse to accept the mark of the beast, and they'll be killed, right? So they will be right. saved. Even though they missed the rapture, they'll still be saved. They'll have to go through hell, to, you know, literally hell on earth. Mm-hmm. But all of these things are there, and the cool thing is that that's an ET presence, right? So here mm-hmm. you got this armada of angelic beings in their angelic chariots, which you want to know what an angelic chariot looks like, read Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel chapter 10. Those are good guys. 2 Kings 2:11, Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind, right? The Bible uh-huh. literally talks about this UFO showing up, beaming him up in there. And then, on, you know, he throws him his cloak. He's like, here, you have my mantle. And then off he goes to heaven, right? Right. That's an abduction, right? A alien abduction right there in the Bible. And there's going to be a mass alien abduction. Now, how's the world going to interpret that? Mm-hmm. No Christians left. They're going to be like, oh, my goodness, this is Independence Day. These right. ETs came and they kidnapped a billion people off the planet. You know, if there's that many believers, I don't know if there's going to be that many. But millions, mm-hmm. tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions. People just gone. And Ray, you know, NORAD's gonna light up like, holy crap, what in the world? Holy's right. and they'll we'll be gone, we'll be taken, mm-hmm. right? And this will be a vacuum. And then God will be like, okay, here's the keys, handing them to the devil. You take charge of this deception, and then there's going to be people left that are going to remember what these Christians were saying, talking about this audacious, insane thing that's going to happen. They're going to remember it. So while you're all talking about hostile alien invasion on the news and then doing censorship and not letting people get the word out anymore through mm-hmm. media of any kind that we know of, There's going to be an underground church that's going to form during that time. They're going to be like, we know what happened. My Uncle Joe said. And it just happened exactly like he said, and now I believe.
Uh-huh.
And then that's where that angel in 14, Revelation 14, comes in. Real angels are going to be coming down, good and bad, at that time. Well, most of them are going to be bad. But then there's going to be some good ones here and there, and they're going to be like, you know, the Bible is really true. And all the stuff that they're talking about, you know, and this guy who's the leader, you know, world leader, this military figure that is claiming that he's God, he's the Antichrist. And it'll be blatantly obvious, and that it'll be obvious to believers, to people who actually come to faith in that time. The Antichrist will be revealed, it says. It'll be like, okay, blinders off. But probably the most of the planet, the blinders are going to stay on by choice.
Right.
And so all of this is there in the scripture and about, you know, the good guys and the bad guys and this like Star Wars type stuff going on.
Right.
You read about in Daniel chapter 8, it says the Antichrist is going to go to war against these heavenly hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be at war and he will cast them down to the ground. So you're talking about the wars that we have on this planet now are going to start to include otherworldly beings from other planets. And the Antichrist is even going to kick their ass.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's going to be like, who can make war with the beast? Right? just like it says in Revelation 13. So it's all prophesied in there. So in many ways, I'm a lot like the ancient astronaut crowd. I will point at scripture. I'll be like, yeah, Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10. Yeah, that's definitely angels, you know. Is that God? And so that's where they cross the line. They like to say the earth was seeded by ETs, right? They don't like Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where Adam and Eve being created by God's hand, the same God that created the heavens and the earth, created Adam and Eve, created Adam and then took Eve, created her out of his rib. And that's their handmade creations of God. They don't like that. They would rather say they want to give the Anunnaki credit for that. The Watchers wanted to be worshipped as gods when they were here before. They still want to be worshipped. And they're even going back to that original lie, all the way back to the Watchers, Sumerian texts, ancient Sumerian texts, and they're revising it. And when we start seeing ETs up in our face, and then especially if they like, yeah, we're from planet Nibiru, that's right, you know, or whatever, the people will be like, well, that's right. That's more accurate than the Bible. Bible doesn't talk about that, except the Bible does talk about it. Bible tells you what you need to know. They're bad guys. Because of them, God brought the flood. You want to listen to them again? Was the flood not enough? So that's what we're looking at. And that's going to be kind of the gist of what I'm going to be telling them on, you know, on the 13th of October over in Southern California. I got to think of a way to kind of frame it, though, because they're giving me an hour to talk. And I got a lot of ground to cover. They're probably going to want to hear about how I got into being a Christian ufologist, which is just a story in itself. Because my great-grandmother, wife of a minister, my grandpa was an evangelist, a preacher. They traveled the United States during the Great Depression as a ministry team, big tent revivals and stuff like that. So been to every state in the United States, I believe. In the continental United States, living in their car, camping off the side of the road, eating potatoes for weeks at a time during the Great Depression. But they were all about Jesus, right? And then they had their daughter, and then she got married, and she was a believer, but not like so on fire that she's, you know, in ministry or whatever. And then her son, my dad, married my mom, then came the 60s, and they're like, all that Bible stuff, whatever. And my dad used to be like pagan and proud of it, and my mom was a hippie, and so I was not raised going to church, and my only exposure to it was going to my great-grandmother's, and she would read Daniel in the Lion's Den and David and Goliath and pray before bed. And so I got these seeds, just these little seeds here and there when I'm just this little kid, you know. And then she died when I went into the Army. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of, you know, I would have said I was a Christian, but the way I was living my life was not like a believer. You know, it's a big pothead, big, huge party hound, all into pornography and everything. It's just a pretty sad situation. And it was during the worst time of my life, you know, after the Army, 3 years in the Army, that I had this dream out of the blue. You know, I didn't come to Jesus from an altar call. He came to me in a dream.
Right.
And then when I woke up from the dream, I'm like, who was that in the dream? Who was that? Jesus. And then all this love, when he said his name, it was infused with love, like pure, condensed. When I saw my daughter born for the first time, and when my wife said yes, when I asked her to marry me, all of these intense love emotion experiences in my life all combined into a single second, if you could do that.
Right.
Wouldn't come close to touching 1 second of being in that realm when I set foot in it. I've been to heaven twice in dreams, vision dreams when I was a kid. And God revealed things to me when I was 12 years old. And anybody says that they've been to heaven, I have a litmus test for them. I say, give me the number one characteristic of heaven. If they say, oh, it's beautiful. Sure, but that's not the number one characteristic. The number one characteristic of heaven is love saturates the atmosphere. You breathe it in. You step across the threshold of the gate, and you're immersed in God's presence. You feel him there and his love, and it is so intoxicating, so overpowering, that you will long for it for the rest of your life. So I know I went there. I know that God is love, and those things were revealed to me, and I couldn't have got that from the Bible.
Right.
And that's why I believe, you know, I was a believer even before I was, like, firm in my faith. Even having these two visions of heaven at 12 years old, I was like, la la land, party hound, you know. When people that should be responsible for mentoring you and teaching you how you should go are the ones handing you the joint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you expect? So I didn't have a whole lot of good role models growing up, except for my great grandparents. But you know how the world is.
Right.
It's really attractive. Your flesh is just like, ah, I want the party stuff, man. You try something and you get hooked. And then you're off, you know.
Right.
That's the world. That's what happens to innocents. You get trashed. And I was not going to change. God stepped in and he, about face, just like the Apostle Paul, you know. Here you get, well, you had a guy. So think about it. It's a lot between the lines on Emmaus Road. He's going to go join a party to round up some Christians and kill them, right? He's holding people, holding the coats of the people who were stoning Christians to death right in front of him. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, let me hold your coat. Yeah, these are the guys. Drag them out. Kill them. This guy saw Jesus. Jesus said two or three things to him. It's like, why are you persecuting me, Paul? Like, oh, he didn't have anything to say. He was speechless, mm-hmm. right? Next thing you know, he's like, I'm a Christian now. And the Christians are like, you're the dude. I saw you holding the coat when they were stoning Stephen to death.
Right.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, it's a bad day. Sorry about that. You know, like a Monty Python skit.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of felt like that. You know, I'm like, I was calling my friends, telling them, you know, come get your stuff. I don't do that anymore. Jesus came to me in a dream, and I'm a believer now. You know, mm-hmm. It's like I was a believer before. They would have said, "Hey, you said you're a Christian, but you can act like this." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I don't get it. I don't even conceive of how I was." And it's like Ebenezer Scrooge, you know. She's just all "Merry Christmas," and everybody's like, "What? That's that greedy bastard, and he just gave somebody a house. I don't get it, right?"
Yeah.
So that was me. That happened to me so radically that all my friends thought I'd lost my mind. And, you know, and it because this those early seeds, though, they came from my great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was 5 years old, the whole family was there. It was for like a Christmas gathering or Thanksgiving or something. And she was that was the house. You gathered at the great grandparents' house, Grandpa Rand, right. Grandma Thelma, and everybody got there, all the families and everything. There's a lot of people. Grandma's reading the newspaper quietly on the couch while all these animated conversations around the room. Grandma says, "Hold on, everybody, quiet. I got an announcement to make." And everybody's like, "All right, E.F. Hutton moment." You could hear a pin drop. And she starts reading this newspaper article about a UFO chase with some police officers in the outskirts of Madeira. And this was back in 1975. She basically read what the opening scene to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, with the police officers chasing these UFOs around. And everybody's looking at her like, "Okay, Grandma, Jesus personally healing you from a stroke in the hospital when you manifestly saw him." She did, by the way. She was healed from a stroke in a hospital. They didn't know if she would ever talk or walk again. Jesus, she said, walked into her hospital room, smiled at her, and instantly healed her. And the doctors were like, "What?" So she had stories like that. She saw an angel. She saw, you know, the day before she died, she was eating breakfast with her daughter, my grandmother Ruth, and she said, "This morning when I woke up, Rant was standing at the foot of my bed." So my grandpa Rant died like a decade before.
Uh-huh.
She said he was young and handsome and glowing in the spirit, and the kingdom was right there, and he was holding his hands out to me. I could have left this morning. And then she said, "I'm not going to be here much longer." She died the next day.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my great-grandmother, right? Yeah. And yet she read this story about a UFO. So people are like, okay, mixed metaphors here, shifting gears. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
If Grandma said she saw Jesus again, okay, that makes sense. But UFOs. Right. And she said when she was a little girl on the plains of Kentucky, out in the sticks, about 100 years ago, her and her sister were out on the plains. No cars. They had never seen a vehicle before. And they saw a cigar-shaped UFO fly by, and like 30 feet long, maybe 30 feet above the ground. This perfect polished aluminum. She said it looked like a polished aluminum, and it had this glass bubble on the top, and they even saw the guy inside of it. And he turned and looked at him as he cruised by. It's like, "Hey, how's it going?" I don't know if he waved. I wish I could go back in time and like hit my grandmother up with 1,000 questions about that.
Right.
But I was like trying to process it for the first time. Like, "Oh, what's a UFO?" You know? And I became more interested in Star Trek. We used to watch Star Trek at home. And then Mom said, I'm asking Mom, like, "What was Grandma talking about that?" Right? Because she read this story in the newspaper, and then she said, "When I was a little girl, I saw a UFO," and she told the story. And they're on the plains of Kentucky, never even seen a car before. They had no frame of reference for what this thing was, and it flew by. Uh-huh. Her and her sister ran home. They told their mom. She said, "Don't ever tell anybody that story ever again. Keep your mouth shut." Uh-huh. I'm guessing she didn't want anybody thinking they were nuts.
Right.
And so her sister died a couple years later. And for the rest of her life, like 70 years, buttoned up. Then she read this article in the newspaper, and, "Oh, yeah, I saw one of these." So she decided to announce it to the family. I got to get this off my chest. I know Mom told me not to tell anybody, but you know what? I don't think anybody here is going to care.
Right.
You know, and she was in her 70s. late 70s at that time. So she's probably thinking, so what? Talk all the smack you want, you know? People already talk smack. Probably don't believe that I saw Jesus, even though I was healed. So who cares? And so she told this story. And so at 5 years old, I had those two seeds planted, like, okay, God real, Jesus is real, ETs are real. And that's just kind of where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandma believed all of it too. She didn't bother to, you know, try to connect the dots and reconcile and dig into scripture and like, how does this fit into eschatology and end times? And, you know, how does this go into the ancient past and all this and that? And she was totally unaware of Eric von Däniken and ancient astronaut research and all that. She had no clue, right? Me, at 5 years old, right? Okay, that happened. And then I started watching Star Trek all big time, and, you know, like, okay, this real stuff out there like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
I believed it, you know? If something in my gut always felt that it was right. And who never saw Star Wars that didn't think, there's something to this. There really, literally is a Star Wars out there.
Uh-huh.
For reals. I mean, he could even look like Darth Vader for all we know.
Right.
I doubt it. I think he's probably more like this charismatic dude that wears white, you know, and he glows. But he's every bit as evil as Darth Vader. But he's out there. There's beings out there that are like that. Satan himself, though, he's stuck here on Earth in the first heaven.
Right.
And he probably still has alliances out there. And a lot of the stuff that we read in the Bible, Daniel chapter 8, those are probably bad guys too. It's just bad guys fighting bad guys to create a false flag narrative to make him a hero, a planetary savior. So imagine Independence Day playing out with us fighting these otherworldly beings, and then this military leader, like they made the president of the United States in that movie, like this warrior who saved the planet, right? Well, I don't think it'll be from America. I think honestly it'll be from the Middle East, like it says in the Bible. And he's going to be this military leader and strategist, and he will corral all of these forces against this bad guys and shoot them all down and be victorious. And everybody will be like, who can make war against the beast? He's even defeated these otherworldly beings that were coming to come and trash our planet.
Right.
So it would be like the rapture will happen. They'll be like, everybody will freaked out. And then this other thing, this invasion will happen, these other beings, and all the world forces will pile up and throw their hat in the ring behind this one guy as the main military leader, like a NATO commander, right? And mm-hmm. they'll go against him, they'll defeat him, and then they'll be like, let's nominate this dude. Let's all give allegiance to this military leader.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like the WHO right now is really vying to try to get international control of the world, globalism and the World Economic Forum and all of these global powers, these international billionaires trying to consolidate power on this planet. Well, they're going to finally pull it off. And, you know, the Antichrist is still going to be at war against countries through almost all of his reign. Actually, for all of his reign. So there's even throughout his entire existence. So the first 3.5 years that the Antichrist is there in power, he's going to be making a peace agreement with Israel and all of this stuff. Everybody's going to be like, this guy's awesome, right? Everything's going to be looking so good. The economy's going to be blowing up, right? Everybody's going to, you know. We'll probably have digital currency and everybody will be on this high, you know, like, oh, look how prosperous we are. And, you know, and we finally got rid of all the stupid Christians, you know, now we can all, you know, just do what we want and not have any bigots or, you know, whatever phobia or whatever they want to call it, whatever they want to throw at you. Because Christians basically take the rule book of right and wrong from the Bible and they don't like a lot of those things. So throw it out, you know, and they'll be happy the first 3.5 years. And then he's going to be like, okay, you know, things are getting a little willy nilly around here. We need a little bit more control.
Uh-huh.
Let's take this technology that we got, artificial intelligence, which is in the Bible. Actually, it says that the first thing that the beast is going to do is he's going to commission humanity to create an image of the beast. And he's going to breathe life into this man-made thing. It will become sentient. It will be able to make decisions. People will be in wonder and awe of it. And it will be put in charge of the global economy. And it will also implement a tracking system, a global tracking system. Probably this right here is a precursor to the global tracking system. It's already here. We just don't have it integrated into our body yet, but they're working on it. All these things are here. The Bible talks about all of this advanced technology, man-made sentient technology is there in Revelation 13.
Right.
And, you know, all the pieces are coming together now. And like one of the only things that's missing is open contact with other beings, but we're seeing it, right? The Navy came clean 2020. They're like, okay, all right. It's not a weather balloon. Yeah, we're done with weather balloons and gas lighting and you know, swamp gas or whatever you want to call it. It's not that. It's technology that's well beyond us. It's breaking the laws of physics. And even Marco Rubio came out, the Senator Marco Rubio, and said, good grief. I hope they're ETs. If China has that, we're done. You know, they cracked free energy if they got that kind of technology. Because these things are like going 7 times faster than our nuclear subs underwater, coming out of the water, defying all manner of aerodynamics. They obviously have inertia eliminated in these craft because nothing could survive what these craft are doing. They do circles around our F-22s like they're like it's a child's toy. And you know, and then they shoot off up into space at faster than anything that they can even calculate. And they're gone, you know. It's like yep, that's real. We don't know what it is, you know. And the reality is there now, and then they have the whistleblower movement, and more people are coming out of the woodwork, and things are starting to come apart at the seams. And I think it's because the ETs are like, they're calling the shots at this point. They're like, enough of this. You know, we want to, we want to, people are ready. Yeah. I used to think that the reason that they didn't come out and land on the White House lawn and, you know, okay, here we are. Everything's cool. We're going to go meet with your president. I used to think that they wouldn't do that because, they're afraid of us panicking, right? The United States is afraid of us panicking. So they're keeping everything, a lid on everything, right? But after the pandemic and everything, I'm like, you know what? They kind of like it when we're scared. That makes us give away our freedoms and give them more power. They like that.
Yeah.
So it's not fear. They don't care if we're panicked out of our minds and committing suicide and jumping out of windows. They used to care back in the 40s when they had War of the Worlds, and they're like, oh, gosh, we can't let people know this is going on. Right. Now they're probably itching to tell us. Okay, come on, let's tell them. You know, and I've heard that they have false flag scenarios set up, that they've reverse engineered some of our technology, and then they do some of these abduction operations themselves, pretending to be ETs, torturing people, to perpetuate this even more than what the ETs are doing, because they're doing it too. But we're doing it also because we want to be able to fake being these bad guys, Project Blue Beam, other people read this stuff, right? So we can create a fake false flag and get people to relinquish more of our freedom or whatever, and support somebody who's going to take a stand or fight against these things, like a fake alien invasion, right? So I've heard that that is one of the things that they've been working on in our government. But the Bible is actually very clear that they really are going to be otherworldly beings coming here. It's in Revelation 12:4, the stars. Satan drags the stars out of the sky and casts them to earth. That's otherworldly beings coming to this planet. They will be lured here by Satan. And Daniel 8 is another example of it. It's the same narrative, more detailed, talking about otherworldly beings coming here and fighting against us. So there's otherworldly battles here. And then Jesus said, we're going to return to the days of Noah. So, you know, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The sun will be darkened. The moon will turn to blood. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Like, look up. There's things going on up in the sky. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. People could be scared. They're going to be wanting to kill themselves. They're just terrified, right? So all this stuff is coming. But a lot of things are not going to be what they look like. It's not going to be what it seems. I mean, the rapture, for example, those are good guys. So, and then there's going to be good guy angels too, flying around probably in their contraptions, maybe landing in Joe Blow's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this ET coming out with a Bible in his hand, you know, worship the creator. Remember who he is. Don't believe these other dudes. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be crazy. It's like if people are, if they haven't heard any of this research that I'm talking about here, another lens through right. which to read scripture and understand it, they're going to be so lost. They're going to want to call the good guys demons.
Mm-hmm.
If they're Christian, they're going to be like, oh, I can't process that, you know. Mm-hmm. Pope's kind of open to it, you know. They probably got all this stuff in the Vatican and everything.
Right.
But they haven't actually gone through and written something like I did, you know, with this. I got the strong delusion here. I'm talking about all of this. And then I got Christian ufology, which is, you know, the Antichrist plan in a nutshell, which is the strong delusion and stuff. Strong delusion also has a lot more in terms of Islam and mm-hmm. the role that that's going to play in end times. I believe the Antichrist is going to sort of be some sort of New Agey Muslim. I call it the strange God of the Antichrist is the subtitle, because it says in Daniel that he will have a strange God, unlike any of his fathers or whatever, right? So that could apply to either Christian or Muslim or Jew or you name it. Strange. It's like some tangent that's totally... And then I talk about it. It says it's a God of fortresses.
Mm-hmm.
And you could really dig into that and look at the Hebrew words and stuff. There's meaning there. It's telling you straight up that this Antichrist, the Antichrist God, is going to be some otherworldly being. And it talks about Jesus. It actually talks about him in the Quran. And the Bible talks about a false prophet, the second beast. And he's going to speak like a lamb, sound like a dragon. Right? So he's going to have the trappings of Jesus. He'll look like Jesus. He'll sound like Jesus. Oh, I'm a king from another world. He literally might be a king from another world.
Uh-huh.
But he will not be Jesus. And his main message will be the blasphemy is that he will say, I'm not who you think I'm not who Christians think I am. I didn't create all time space. You read in the Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God,
mm-hmm.
and the Word became flesh, right? Who is Jesus? You want to know who Jesus is? You look it up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. No ET can claim that.
Mm-hmm.
No ET could claim that. God the Father exists outside time space, and then he stepped into time space in the womb of Mary and created for himself a body in time space. And that's Jesus. And then he created everything, right?
Right.
From within. He probably went back in time in his human body and created angels and all of that, because he's the firstborn of all creation, it says. So that's who Jesus is. And these ancient astronaut folks, they don't get it. They want to take him out. Let's just extract him. And then this fake Jesus that's coming in the future, he's going to do the same thing. He's being like, that's wrong. That's not me. That's too big. Right?
Uh-huh.
But the Antichrist would be like saying, oh, I'm God, you know. He might even throw some New Age twist in there, like, you're God too. And you're God. And you're God. You have God within. Uh-huh. Taking a version of what the Bible says is that we have Holy Spirit in us when we accept him. Right?
Right.
So there's a version of truth that is there, that's a reality. And that's why part of you wants to agree with it, because you're like, I know something's right about that. But what he does with it is he takes it and he twists it and perverts it into something that's, you're worshiping yourself by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's coming. And I'm trying to warn people, and it's kind of a strange warning, but it's strange only now because shit hasn't hit the fan yet.
Mm-hmm.
When the stuff starts happening, then hopefully this podcast can be found and people be like,
sure.
What is he talking about? You know, anybody wants these books that I have? All right. Of course they're on Amazon. They're on my website, and you see my, let's see right here, right there, JohnMiler.com. But I have ChristianUFology.net. I also have TheStrongDelusion.net. So get those books there. But my author page has all my books. I got a lot of books, 13. And, well, that's not a lot compared to a lot of authors, but it's some. Five in the Christian ufology genre, though. But if people, let's say they're interested and they want to know more, but they don't want to invest $12 or $10, you know, with these costs, I will email them a PDF of it if they email me and ask.
Okay.
jmiler@yahoo.com. So my email address is on my website, but it's jmiler@yahoo.com. And anybody who just says, yeah, just hook me up with a free copy, and, you know, I would ask, you know, honor system, if you'd be willing to, you know, at least give me a star rating on Amazon as a courtesy, but not required. You know, it just helps because I've lost a lot of money as an author. it's not helping me there in the finance department.
Gotcha.
I've given up. That's why I'm giving them away. You know, I've kind of just given up on that. The Lord will do something there if he wants.
Absolutely.
So far, he's not seen fit to give me a traditional publisher contract. So. Whatever. The more important thing is that I get the message out as good as I can, and that's what I'm trying to do with these podcasts.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. I learned so much tonight. Fantastic.
Yeah, and I gave you these books too, I believe. I think I emailed them to you.
Yes.
So you have them there in PDF format. I don't actually buy them and mail hard copies, you know. I mean, but I would consider it, though, because you let me come on your show.
Absolutely.
But thank you for having me on
too, if you want to come back and visit.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even talk about the glowing ball of light I saw in the jungle of Panama that, you know, which was another formidable experience in my younger days that, like, really? Yeah, I got to be James T. Kirk and do first contact with an ET.
Very cool.
It probably wasn't an ET. It was probably some trans-dimensional entity that lived in the jungle, but still.
Still,
it was cool.
Very, very cool. All right, sir. Well, you have a great rest of your evening. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. And blessings on you.
Yep, bye-bye. All right, I love when I can have a guest on like this where I can learn something. You know, that's what this is all about. You know, I know a lot about, you know, investigating the paranormal and stuff, but there's other people that know, you know, other things that are related to it that I love to learn from. Okay, tomorrow I will be back, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, and I haven't decided on my topic yet, so it's going to be I'm going to call it a pop-up show. So be here at 6:30 p.m. Pacific to see what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow night. Okay, guys, I'm going to leave you. If you like the show, share it with 5 people. If you hate the show, share it with 5 of your enemies. Equal opportunity here at California Haunts Radio. Just trying to get the word out. Like the show. Give me some thumbs up. All that good stuff. See you tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, right here. Bye.